As we were in praise and worship, I was reminded of a testimony a friend of mine gave, something that happened to him, and something I think that we often don't think about when we think about Jesus and we're being obedient to stuff that he says to do. He was at work, and a co-worker, colleague of his had come in looking gloom, looking sad, and he recognized it, and he asked him what was going on, and he told him that that he was having surgery the next day. This, I think, was, I can't remember what kind of day it was, but he was having surgery the next day, and that they had found a hole in his spine, and they were going to be doing surgery to, I guess, close it up. And so my friend, you know, a little nervous, but he felt the unction of the Holy Spirit, and he said, "Well, can I pray with you?" And the young man said, "Yeah, you can pray with me." And so my friend, not wanting to be out in the open, you know, where they were, like in a corridor or whatever, he said, "Let's go over here into this empty office." And they went into the empty office, and he was testifying that he had no desire, or he didn't have any means of wanting to lay hands on this brother because he was unsaved, and he knew that, and he didn't want to freak him out, and he wasn't going to speak in tongues, you know, because that's what we do when we pray and we have the Holy Spirit. He said, "I'm not going to freak this guy out, I'm just going to pray for him." He got in there, and when he opened his mouth, his hand extended, and we laid it on his, he laid his hand on him, and he began to speak in tongues. I thought that was kind of funny. You know, we always think how things are going to go. And the Holy Spirit turns around. So he prayed for this young man, and he was speaking in tongues, and it shocked himself, of course. He was moved by it. The young man was moved by it, of course, too. You know, we close our eyes when we pray, but I think if we would open our eyes, we would see that most times those people don't have their eyes closed, because they were kind of thinking, "What are you doing?" You know? So he didn't have his eyes closed, but my friend did. And after he finished praying, you know, he thanked them, and then he said, I got a question for you." He said, "What?" He said, well, "Who is that guy standing behind you?" And, you know, my friend looked at him and said, "What guy? It's just me and you in here." He said, "No, there's a guy standing behind you. Who was that?" Right? And I was, you know, we were all shocked at that. What? We don't think that Jesus would show up for when we begin to pray and be obedient to things that he says he would do. You know, and so that was he went away, you know, because they were all filled with about that, and he was excited that this brother, he said, "I didn't see anybody." And later on he testified, you know, that he said, "There was something coming out of your hands, some light coming out of your hands." And he just put it plain and simply what he saw. And, you know, you can't think of how an unbeliever, a sinner, somebody who is not saved, is seeing these things, right? Testifying to it, so you know they have to be true. Why would he make it up? He goes to the surgery, of course, the next day. The doctor, you know, I guess they want to make sure what they're doing is correct, so they do another x-ray. He comes back to the room, and he said, "What you been doing?" And the guy said, "What do you mean?" He said, "There's no hole. There's nothing wrong with you. You can get up off the gurney or the bed, and you can go home." God healed him. It was a miraculous healing. And I said, he's telling the story right now, this friend of mine, and he had said he had told me at the time that it happened, but I couldn't remember what he said, because he didn't include the part about the guy standing behind. And what I wanted to share, which is that we don't understand some of the things that God tells us about his word. He's not lying to us. He says, "I'm going to be there." And when we do praise and worship, when we come in here on Sunday mornings or whenever, Wednesday nights and so forth, and when we go into prayer, Jesus is in the midst of us. He is there. And sometimes I think our minds, we don't act like he's there. And I think, I don't know, I may sometimes think the Holy Spirit may get offended that we're not as present as he is. Because he's not going to slack up on his word. He's not going to, you know, turn a deaf ear to what he has said. And he wants us to believe it with all our heart, what he has put in there and told us about what he's in the supernatural, right? He is the epitome of that. And I felt his presence here this morning in praise and worship, and I sometimes wonder what we think, you know, that God has shown up. And you may even have a question, well, what am I supposed to do with that? Well, let your heart, you know, be excited that he is not a liar. God cannot lie, and that he shows up for you and I. All we need to do is be obedient. The testimony of this friend goes on. He was hiding in this room with this guy praying. Well, he didn't know that two of his other colleagues had gone into the other office next to him, and they were going in there to have lunch. And they overheard him praying in that room. So one of those brothers approached him, the following day, and asked him, hey, what were you doing in there? So he kind of told him, he says, well, I want you to come home and pray for my sister. And I believe his mother-in-law, she had cancer. And he said, oh, sure, I do that. I think after work he went and prayed. And the mother-in-law was healed of cancer. She did the same thing, went to her doctor, and he said, what are you doing? I don't see any more cancer. You know, God does that for us. And you know, and you say, well, is that remarkable? That's remarkable. That's exciting, you know, that he would do this and testify. Of course, there are people getting saved all over the place at his workplace, especially this guy's family that had his back healed. But he was telling me this because he said, at the time, I just didn't know. You know, we're as young Christians, sometimes we just don't understand and know what's going on when we sense the presence of God. You know, we're ministering, and I don't know about you, but I've had testimonies of people saying, you know, Kurt, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean I'm doing? He says, why is there a light on you? You know, they can see a glow sometimes. You know, and I remember preaching and ministering and walking across the front of the sanctuary. And as I stepped forward, I could feel the wind of the Spirit of God step with me. I mean, I felt something physical. And I, you know, you kind of, you turn around and kind of figure, what's that? That's the Holy Ghost doing what he said he would do. He does that, I think, to let us know he's not lying. He is with us. He's testifying to all the truth that's in the Word of God. There's no lack of slack about what he's saying. He really means what he says. As I'm on testimonies, but I keep on going, right? As I'm on testimonies, you know, we talk about, we read the Word and we hear John the Baptist. They asked him, you know, are you the one that was going to come? And blah, 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 blah. And he tells them, oh, no, I'm not the one. You guys know the story about John the Baptist. And he says, I come here, and he was doing involved in the baptism of repentance, as our pastor has taught us. He said, but there's one coming after me. And so we don't think about this because we think, oh, Jesus came to bring salvation. But that's not what John said. John said, there's one coming after me who will what? Baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. That's what John said about Jesus. He didn't say, oh, Jesus is coming because he's going to forgive all your sins and he's going to create. And of course he did all that, you know. But John didn't say that. That wasn't his testimony on that day. There's one coming after me that's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. It's in the Word. Go read it. Matthew, I think, 3:11. It's in Luke, I think, 3 also. And you know that your mind's got to think. Why did he say that instead of saying all things that we believe? Oh, he came to save us. Oh, he came to give us salvation. Why didn't John say he came to give you salvation? He didn't say that. That's all I'm saying. He didn't say that. Word of God didn't say he said that. He said, I come to baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. He will be, I'm sorry. Jesus will be the one coming after him. Amen. Anyway, let me pray and get into what I have for you today, or what the Spirit of God has for you. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you show up on our behalf, that your word, Father, doesn't fall flat, that what you say to us in our hearts, Father God, you will do, that we can trust in you, that we can have faith and depend on you. We thank you, Lord God, that you continue to increase our obedience, continue to open up our hearts, that we may see you more and more and more. Father God, that you can continue to use us and do the things that you've declared and that you will do through us time and time again. Amen, amen, amen. Pastor's already told us that this year he's going to focus on growing us up, and the things that the Word of God talks about us in our faith to grow. And God had already given me a word about that, a word for the body of Christ, I think, about growing up. And you say, well, I don't need to grow up. I'm 70, I'm 80. What do I need to grow for? Well, he's not talking about your natural ability to grow, your intellect, emotions, and so forth. And we know that in the natural, we grow. You know, we mature, and our bodies mature. Some of us are feeling that these days. You get past 40 and stuff starts to happen. Those of you under 40, you just wait. But he's not talking about a natural growth, natural thing that's happening. He's talking about a spiritual growth. God wants us to grow spiritually. Don't you think he has, just like he has in our natural self, you know, we were born in the womb and then we start, come out, we're eating and, you know, our body has got all those growth hormones and our bones are clicking and clacking and, you know, we grow from a small baby into grown full adults. That's the system that God put into place. And with that comes a maturing of your intellect, a maturing of your reasoning, your judgment, you know, comes. That's those things also grow up. You know, right from wrong, what kind of morals you'll have, you know, as you live your life. The interaction with society and all the world things that come about. You know, my children got to be grown, and my daughter both my daughters gave a testimony or a declaration. They said, I don't like being an adult. They didn't like adulting after they got out of college and were on their own and had to pay bills and, you know, do all the things that grown-ups do. Who likes those pressures that come on you, you know? And then, of course, you add calamities and adversities and trials and tribulations to that, you know, and relationships, you know, to that. And it just complicates your whole life. God has a plan, right? And we know that takes place in the natural. We've all experienced growth. You know, some of us are married, and we understand that there's complexities in our life. So we have children, and they're complicated even more. You know, God tells us to be joyful. Amen? And he says, count it all joy when you, what, fall into diverse trials and temptations. He said, count it joy, because the trying of your faith is going to work in you. What he wants, what's more, increased more faith, growth. He wants us to grow. So you have to think then God has a system for us spiritually. We jump in. It's such a radical thing that he has done. Such a radical opposite thing to our natural understanding that there is a being beyond us who has created us. He made us. Everything that we are, everything about us, he knows. This being made us, and then there's this complicated thing that goes through, that's gone through, you know, the life and down through history or whatever you want to call it. Man was placed in the garden, and, you know, he fell, and you're like, what? There's something wrong with me. Right? You've been born into sin, and you're not going to spend your life after this with God if you don't do something. You know, so you learn that as you grow up, you get to the age of accountability, they call it. It can happen anytime. You could be 8, you could be 80. But you get to the place where you understand, I have to do something about my mortality. I am a sinner. And that sin is just being in separation from God. It's not really me fornicating and creating adultery and stealing and cheating and, you know, talking about people and, you know, that kind of thing. It's the fact that I'm separate from God. I'm no longer in the place, in the connection where I need to be. You may be told, you're a sinner, and you need to pray the sinner's prayer and come unto God. And you know, that might be your first understanding your first interaction with this being that you didn't know was there for a long time. But once you get there, make that decision, you then begin to understand that, oh, it wasn't anything about that. That sin was causing me to do all of those outward things. But my sin was my separation from him. My relationship with him was severed. My creator, the lover of my soul, the one who knows me more than I know myself. I was apart from him. It may be different from your experience, but my experience was that exactly. The revelation that God is real, and if he is real, that is the place where I need to be. I made my confession of faith and my repentance of sin and being baptized because I wanted to be near to God. And I wanted him to be near to me. And then, of course, what takes over? Your mind, your will and emotions and all the natural stuff just kicks right in. And, you know, and you begin to think about all the stuff that's in the world and the society, and they have all their religions and all their stuff that's going on, and, you know, your parents have stuff, you grew up a certain way, and, you know, you start to lean on a lot of that intellect, a lot of that reason that comes through those processes. And I'm not saying that's bad or anything, but I'm just saying sometimes we jump into something where God is like, wait a minute, hold on. So, you know, I think I told you guys I was writing another book, and it's Growing in Grace is the title of it. And the reason he put that in my heart, I believe, because you see so many disjointed fellowships, disjointed Christians. And what I mean by that, you see some who have been saved a long time, but yet in their faith, they're either weak or they don't really understand, you know, certain principles of the Word of God. And you're like, why are you not further along than this? Why do you have a hard time praising and worshiping God when that's one of the first principles of the truths that he teaches us as young babes in Christ? Why is that a difficulty? Why do we have trouble sharing our faith, sharing who we believe and trust in? You see it all over. I'm not just talking about congregations or whatever. I'm talking all over everywhere. You know, and even in ministers and pastors that you hear on TV or, you know, you read their books or whatever the case may be, you see this, what is God, what? And, you know, and it just came, he came to me and he said, well, don't you think I would have a growth system for your maturity? I won't just, you get saved and just throw you out there. Go for it. Grow as you will. Do whatever you want. Spin around in a circle on your top, on your head. You know, get it in, get it out, whatever. You think that God would actually do that to us? But yet, that's how some of us are. We get saved and we feel like, oh, that's it. I'm trying to do it now. What are you trying to do? I don't know what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get closer to him. I'm trying to do all this stuff he told me I need to do. Trying to get baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, you know, hashanda, shanda. I'm trying to do all this stuff. And the Spirit of God just started ministering to me. He said, Just like you have your body and its system, and it has a way to grow. You feed it. Feed your body. You have to have energy. You have to have food in order for it to have energy to grow, for you to actually do stuff, right? For your mind to even think healthy. You got to do something to yourself. You can't just sit by and not eat and expect your body not to be affected by that. Cannot. It is a vital connection, a vital life connection that we have to food. Now, some of us think, oh, well, I'm not telling you to eat a lot of food. I'm just trying to, you need food. I know some of you want to lose some weight and you're trying to stay away from food. What I want you to know, man, you need food. Your body needs food. So we know those things to be healthy and grow. And, you know, and of course, we know a lot of other things that'll kill the body. And we do those things anyway, too. Don't make a difference. We just do them. Why? Because I want to. I think we do them because we miss our vital connection with God and his spiritual growth system, pattern. Some people catch on really quick, and they get right in there, and they begin to, they grow, and they mature, they speed on, and you say, man, they're taking off. You know, there was a group of us who got saved all at the same time. And, how many was it? It had to be, 25, 30 of us. And we were on campus, and we stayed together. Well, not in the same room, but we were, we congregate every now and then. And some of us, why? Isn't that an interesting thing? You would think that we would all just kind of like go, whew, but we didn't. There were some of us that grew quickly and some of us that lingered, didn't. Had lots of troubles, calamities, adversities, trials, tribulations, just piled up. You know, you're like, man, what is going on? You know? And unfortunately, I didn't understand any of that until maybe a couple years ago. And you say, well, dog, I've been saved for 40 years. I got saved when I was 19 years old. Well, actually, I got saved when I was 15. I recommitted when I was 19. I've been saved a long time. What happened? How come I'm just finding out that this growth system that God has for us? Now, it may be because of me, because I didn't want to do any of those things that the Bible was telling me that I needed to do. I'm not ready to go start, I'm not ready to pray. Y'all go pray. Oh, I don't want to go to, that service. When we were in college, we went to every revival service that there we could find. We didn't care where we were. We campus, New River Valley, Dublin, Pulaski. We were going to all of them. Tent revivals. I mean, I'm telling you, we saw some stuff. We saw some stuff. We were hungry for something, but we didn't know what it was. And so it came out that way, And I'm not saying God sent us to all those places. It was just something that kind of came out. So this morning I want us to get a hunger, a thirst to grow. Because God is not holding, he's not the one that's holding the thing up. Think about that. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature and advance. He wants us to move forward. He wants us to do all the things that we read about in the Bible. He wants us to do those things. His idea for us is this. But yet, that's not our idea. And I think in our hearts, and I'll testify and tell about myself, I'm not ready for that, God. I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for that, God. I don't want to be a fanatic. I don't want people to call me crazy because I see that going on, right? And usually we think, I want to be a normal person. I'm a Christian to believe in God, but I want to be a normal Christian. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what you're doing, God, but, I'm not ready for what I see in the Word of God. And I repented. Because God doesn't want you to be that way either. He's not trying to make you out to be a crazy person, fanatical, and, people look at you and run the other way. Matter of fact, he wants to make you the center of attention. He wants you to be the person that people are drawn to. And I didn't really understand this. So what did that do? It stumped your growth, right? Because you're not willing to accept some of the things that he wants us to accept from the Word of God. You say, well, why are you talking to us like that? I want you to hunger for the presence of God. I want you to turn yourself inside out, outside in, for God, for the things of God, for the growth that he's made. The body of Christ needs it. in this hour that we're in. They needed it a long time ago. But they surely need it now. And as time goes on, they're going to need to grow up. They're going to need to grow. And you say, well, I like my gossiping. I like, you know, talking about those guys over there. I like putting them down so I can lift myself up. I like the way I feel when, you know, I'm right. So I'm gonna stay right here. You go on over the way that way, Kurt, you do that, but I'm gonna stay right here. It stunts your growth. That's all it does. Keeps you out of the revelations of the Word of God that causes you to mature in Him. Not to mature. I don't want to mature and be like Pastor. I don't want to mature and be like Kurt. I want to mature in God. I want to be like God. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be like none of y'all. Right? But somehow we get in our mind, well, if I go that way, I'm going to be like him. I'm going to be like Brian. I'm going to be like, you know, Brian comes around. Tells us all kind of good stuff, you know. Good stuff. Maybe talks to us in Bible study. She's going to be, you know, it's going to be good. And we wonder, you know, I'm not saying it's not good to have mentors and people that you look up to, but I'm saying our hunger and thirst should be for the Holy Spirit, should be for God. Unlike anything else. Get your own. Get your own. Let me just leave it like that. Get your own perspective on Him that nobody can deter you because He said it to you. Well, no, God told me to come in here and praise and worship. He said, put your hand up like this. And you praise me and don't worry about what the other people are doing. Because God told me, do this. I'm going to do this because that's what God said. God may tell some of you to run. I've run in services. I've jumped. I've danced. I've had the Holy Spirit turn me around and spin me upside down. I've been out in the Spirit. I've been, you know, Pastor was talking about being slain. I was at a conference. There were thousands of people. It was a minister's conference. I was in the praise and worship team. We were standing up behind the minister that was giving the oratory there, and he turns around and he lays hands on me. I don't know why he did that. I go out in the Spirit. There's nobody behind me. There's a, what was that behind me? A riser. I hit the floor. You hear this sound? I mean, this sound reverberated throughout that auditorium of me hitting that floor. You said, well, what? Oh, my God. Yes, there was shock. Surprise went out through it. I didn't hear any of that shock and surprise. Next thing I knew, I was sitting on the row in the audience in the place where we were supposed to be sitting. I didn't remember any of that. I wasn't hurt. You know, well, some of you might think, oh, that's what Kurt hit his head. That's what happened to him. He hit his head. I didn't remember that. That was God doing his thing. Right? We got to be aware that what is going on inside of us is what he's doing. Not what somebody else said. That was, you know, could I have resisted? I don't think I could have, but could I have resisted? Sure, I could have. Let me take that back. The Bible of God says he doesn't force anything on any of us. And yes, you can resist all of that and not do what he wants. And so through that means, though, because you can do that, who has control then of how much and how fast and how quickly you advance through the kingdom of God? You and I, because of that. And he wants it that way. But I want to say, you need a shade, don't you? You got to get your hand up over your face. I was like, what? Is she saying hello? She praising God? No, her sun is coming down on her. She's like this. You want to move? You're gonna, no, it's just good. Anyway, we have that ability. He's given it to us. And he is just as, oh my God, warm-hearted and easy and so delicate with us. We say, no, I ain't doing that. and he doesn't smack us down like I know he probably feels like he should. No, he does. He just gently, come on. You know, we pull away, and he just comes back, and he just gently comes. Now, this gently pulling may take years, and he is still with us. You got to love him. You got to love what God does for us. But he shared this with me, and I said, and I know that, I said, well, why didn't you share this with other people? I think some people and some ministers were trying to get us, you know, some of you guys have people you listen to, evangelists, pastors, teachers, whatever, on the radio or TV, whatever. And I believe he's used them at times to try to get us to understand, come on, get yourself in action. I want you. You know, my friend that I gave the testimony to never saw himself. He just went to pray for the brother to ease his mind. He never thought that brother was going to be healed. Some of you think, oh, he had to believe that. He had to believe that before he got healed. Why? Jesus was the one doing it. He was being obedient. God said, go pray for him. Now, he prayed for healing for him. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes, you know, in our own natural self, we don't believe it. God's doing the work. I'm going to tell you one more testimony. Do you guys remember the Dodles? Did anybody remember the Dodles? Ken Dodle Norm and Brenda. Their son Ken was very, well, he went to church with us, they went to church with us, and he was very nice a lot when he was in high school about the, you know, God and all that kind of stuff. He came into church, sat on the back row, went to sleep. And this is his testimony. I'm repeating his testimony to this morning. He went to sleep. High school, junior, senior year, that's what he did. About, I don't know, he said he had maybe a semester left, maybe a couple of semesters left in high school. He and his friends decided they were going to make pipe bombs. You remember, did you remember the testimony? Did y'all hear that? He decided he was going to make a pipe, they were making pipe bombs. You know, putting shards of metal and stuff in a pipe. You know how you make them and put a fuse down in the middle and you light it and it explodes. Well, during his preparation for this pipe bomb, it went off. It blew up in his face. He had shrapnel all to his chest. I think some of it got in one eye and God healed him of that. But he had scratched all up. Come to Jesus meeting, right? I'm almost dead. I think I'm going to stand up and be saved today. He got saved and did well on the end of his school at Blacksburg High School. And then went to ORU. He was at ORU, that Ken played, he was in the band, he played trumpet. In ORU, and they have a missions, things that they do, you know, all, every year. So he got through up to his senior year and decided that he was going to go on a mission trip. And he said, oh yeah, I'm gonna go and be in the band. So he was going to a mission trip in Nigeria, Tia Osborne and Benson Idios, you guys know him, African evangelist, I don't know, well, anyway, there. Y'all hear T.L. Osborne, though, right? No? Two great ministers of God, they're doing evangelistic meetings in Nigeria. As an ORU student, they praised him while a group of people went to Nigeria. This first meeting they had, something miraculously happened. It was thundering and lightning, and they thought, oh my God, the meeting's going to be canceled. There are tens of thousands of Nigerians at this meeting, right? They're all out in this field. And T.L. Osborne and the other minister, Benson, go out and they just start praising God and waving their hands. Clouds part, the rain stops, the stars come out. So they, you know, you are witnessing something, right? And this is his testimony. And so they go through the service, right, and they're ministering to them. And then at the end of the service, the minister comes and he says, well, these pastors, about the pastors, the evangelistic team and the mission team there were on the podium. He said, well, these pastors here, they're going to go to your local villages and they're going to minister to your people. And he started naming pastors and naming villages to where they were going to go. And then he names three villages, and he said, and Pastor Dodo is going to go to those places and minister. And he said, oh man, that's really neat. He's back there in the praise and worship, right? That's really neat. Another person named Dodo is here. After the service, he finds out that pastor was him. You know, he's like, oh my God, what a, he, in him, there was hesitation, and he said, I wanted to say, I'm not going, but he couldn't see. He wasn't. He saw the people hungry, and he said, okay, I'll just go do whatever God wants me to do in these small villages. He's thinking a small village is going to have a congregation of maybe 35, 40 people. He goes to the first village, there's 3,000 people. He said, easy, 3,000 people. Pastor gets up and tells the people all about, you know, hey, we're glad that pastor's here from the United States, and we're going to have a great meeting. And he, you know, this people are yelling, ah, yeah, and, you know, going through the, he said, it was just up. You know, and he was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And he said, what am I going to do, God? I'm not a pastor. I've never spoken in front of people and ministered like this before. What am I going to do? This is what he said on him. God, help me. Help me, God, help me. So he thought, they go on, you know, over in Africa, and they have these meetings. The spirit is so high. They praise worship God for hours. You know, so the service was going on. And he thought, oh, man, I can do it. I'm going to go up 5 minutes, and I'll be good. Anyway, they get through with that first part of the service, and they say, now Pastor Dodo's going to come. He's going to minister a word of God to you. Are you ready for it? Yeah. You know, they yell and shout. So he gets up and he's stuttering over his words. And all he's saying is a simple, you know, God loves you. And, you know, he wants you to be with him. He wants you to repent of your sins and, you know, be lifted up in heaven. And sorry, something similar to the salvation message. 5 minutes. So he does that. And he turns around and gives the mic back to the pastor. Pastor takes the mic and goes, wasn't that a great message? Everybody's talking about it. They're yelling and screaming. Yes, yes. And then he says, now for those of you who are sick and lame and need a healing, Pastor Dodo is going to lay hands on you and God is going to heal you. And he just went, oh my God. Nothing like that has ever happened for him. He's a senior at ORU, so he's what? 20, 21? On a missions trip in a strange land, all these black people, let's just go and say it, and they're in Nigeria. And he said that. And he's like, whew. You know, he's help me, God, help me. He almost hyperventilated. He's help me. He said, okay, I'm gonna do, oh God, help me. He said, maybe the, you know, the first person comes up, they'll have like a cold or something, you know. First lady comes up, the pastor goes, here is so-and-so-and-so. She's been blind since birth. She's come to receive her sight. He was like, oh. He said, they push him in front of her, right? And he closed his eyes. He said, I can't watch. He can't watch. He stretches his hand toward her. Before he can say a word, the lady goes, I can see. Oh, my God. She starts running back. He was like, what happened? That happened all that night. People were being healed. He was like, what, me? Think about it. The testimony of Jesus doing what he said he would do. Using us who think that we have to have a certain kind of what something. We got to have something, you know, in order for God to do that. Got to be broke. Got to be whipped. Got to have a life where you're just smacked down and repented. I'm so low. I got to be humble because God, he can use me because I'm humble. God just wants you to get out of the way. Happened at that meeting. He had two other towns to go to. Happened all at every last one of them. changed his life forever. I wish I could tell you where he is right now. I don't know where he is. He was telling us that testimony. We had gone down to Alabama to do a ministry at Canaan Land. Who was that guy? I can't remember his name. He was a biker. Used to be a Hell's Angels biker and got saved and started a ministry down in Alabama. And we went as a praise team from Christian Growth Center to minister at his camp. And Ken came. Ken Del Case went, so he was telling the guys that testimony what happened to him that summer at that Nigerian mission trip. Changed life. Don't you want some of that? God just put him there. It just happened around him. And God wanted him to see. And I believe for a purpose. Of course, we all believe that. But the point is, what was he thinking? He wasn't thinking, well, I have faith, God. Oh, get it. The faith. Trying to pull it out somewhere. And all he had to do was be present and obedient. Because at any point, he could have said, I'm not doing that. They could have called him forth, and he could have said, I'm not going forth. He could have stayed in his room. When they came to pick him up, he said, I'm not. He could have laid in the bed and said, I'm not going. I'm not going to do that. What is God waiting for us? Isn't that a wonderful testimony? Okay, so I ain't got two messages. So how much time do I have? It's 11, almost 11:30. 11:25, matter of fact. Give me some minutes here. How many? Can anybody give me some? Anybody going to give me any? Oh, I got a thumbs up back here. How many is that? Is that just one, or is that like an hour? Is that an hour? Is that an hour for your thumb? That's two. Ten minutes. I want you to have this hunger. I want you to hunger for God. I want you to go home and think about, I need to be hungry and present for God. Because he wants it. He is ready to grow us up. The body of Christ. I want to be part of those who don't linger behind, but those who move in his spirit and grow. Now, it's going to be at your own pace, so you ain't got to worry that he's going to take you out and you know, do something crazy. It's going to be at your pace. You're going to be able to say, I'm not ready for that, God. Give me something else. That's what you and I are going to be able to say. But there's going to come a point, though, you're going to have to say, okay, I'm ready now. I'm ready to take what you have for me. To be in a place where maybe it's not a very comfortable place. How many of you know that to have children is not comfortable? There's a life that you are responsible for. Putting in the things that God wants, because God is using you to prepare them for their life in God. You have a wife. I remember thinking this, and I was repenting because, you know, when me and Sherry were, well, I never said we were dating, but when me and Sherry were together, she has a testimony about that. I here is this strange person. I didn't grow up with her. We met in college, so there were, 18 years or so that she didn't have a clue who I was. I meet her, we were together maybe 18 months before I proposed, and we got married, right? 18 years, 18 months. And, you know, so I'm like, I really love this girl, God, and I really want to do my best, and, you know, he was blessing me and sharing some things with me, but the one thing I remember is that I told her, I'm so excited about marrying you, I want to give you the moon. Those words came out of my mouth. Time goes on, we've been married a few years. It's not going too well. And God brought back those words to me. He said, I thought you wanted to give her the moon. Did you? You know, and those words, you know, and you ladies know about this, those words affect women more better than they affect the guys, you know. Those were the romantic moments. It lifted her out of her discontent. and her despair about marrying me. And God reminded, he said, that's what that did to her. And now you're going to act like this? I repented. Because if I were going to treat her like that and say those words, then I'm the one become a falsehood. And I did not want to do that, being a Christian. You say, oh, what about? Because those are things that happen, right? That we have to make a decision on to grow. We have to get ourselves in the place where we're saying yes to God. And so I started doing that. I started saying more yes to God. Yes, yes, I want to do that. Prepare me, help me, do whatever. I'm not an orator. I didn't think I was a pastor, and I didn't think I was, I'm a shy person. You know, everybody through school will tell you, Curtis doesn't say anything. So the person you see now is a person that's been changed by God to say and be to be here in front of you. That's it's just not a way that I would characterize myself. That's me saying yes to God over and over and over. And over, yes, God, I'll do that. I'll do that. Or can you wait just a few? I remember going up in my house, we had a second floor, and I was going up the steps, and I had been saying no to God about being a pastor. And God, no. I've seen pastors. I don't want to do that. I don't want that responsibility. You can have that. Take that away, do something. I was saying no. So I was going up the steps this one day. And the Spirit of God says, Kurt, you're going to cut off your blessings if you don't start being obedient to what I have called you to do. This is the Spirit of God said to me. I don't think that's the way that he does everybody. But that day, that's what he said to me. You're going to cut off your blessings if you keep being disobedient to what I've called you to do. On those steps, I had to make a decision. He didn't say it for no reason. He said it for a reason. He was wanting to bless me. He wanted me to come on. And you know, why in the world would we ever think that God is trying to beat us down, to throw us in the dump? You know, you think about Joseph, right? His brothers threw him in a pit. Why is God going to throw me in a pit if I say I'm going to be obedient to him being a pastor? Why would he throw me in a pit? Why would he train me to be his man if he's going to then snuff me out? Woof. That's not God, is it? It is not. In every situation that we've ever been in that has caused us pressure, any kind of situation that's caused us pressure and that has caused us to maybe step back a little bit because it's too heavy or it's too something going on or, you know, this and that, God has never sent us to a place where he didn't want us to be delivered. Or be his man or woman, or to shine. We have to just say yes to that obedience. Say yes to that situation. Say, okay, God, what is it? What are you trying to do? What do you want me to do? And do it. All right, give me 10, 5 more minutes. Give me 5 more minutes. So I'm going to be, as pastor gives me opportunity, I'm going to be going down through, going through grace. And I think I mentioned to you there's 5 levels that the Bible talks about, right? 5 levels of growth. He talks about newborn babes in the Bible. Y'all know that? Pastor's talking about that now. Babes in Christ. That's my first one. He talks about being a child, being childlike. So there's a childlike stage. You know, we can relate those to a natural, you know, kind of growth. There's a child. The Bible talks about what children do, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You know, children, you know, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. You speak like children. You know, so child. Then there is a young adult stage. And then to me, that's a stage that's a little longer period than the rest of them. But in that stage, there's a lot of growth takes place. That's where the ministry of the Word of God that you hold, the Word of God becomes so real to you. Prayer is not a option. It is a way of life. And you learn that as a young adult, Christian, spiritual Christian life, not your regular life. So you may not be a young adult when you learn that. You may be an 80-year-old man when you learn that, oh, prayer is a way of life. You know, young adult. Then you go into fatherhood, or you go into adulthood, or you may even call it mature Christian, which is a spiritual maturity. And that's where we want to, that's where we're headed. Spiritual maturity. And then there's a revelation that comes after that, what you become, which is the fifth stage. I don't know if I'm ready to say it to you yet. You got to buy the book. No. Because some of you might go, well, aren't we that already? Well, we are all children of God, right? Our position. Your children that you have. You know, me and I got a 34-year-old that's out there. And, you know, he's still my child. He's a child of Curtis and Sherry. So we're all still children. So I'm not saying that those things change. And things that he says about children, you know, as a whole, as a overall term, is wrong. I'm just saying that there's growth levels, and there's a growth level that we can associate a childlike behavior with, and that we need to grow from that childlike behavior into a young adult behavior. Get rid of those newborn tendencies, get rid of those childlike tendencies, and go into a young adult. And then there's a time when you're going to move on from being a young adult into a mature person, spiritually mature person. This is the body of Christ growing to what God, I believe, wants us to grow to the place where he is ready to take us home to be with him. Remember, he's coming back. What's he coming back for? Is he coming back for a church that's acting like a bunch of newborn babes and child and children? Some of us believe that. Yeah, he'll come back. Well, some of us are going to be in that same stage. I'm not, you know, no, not definitely. But I believe he gave me this message for a reason, that he wants us to grow. I know he wants me to grow. So in this discourse, and I hope I get more time to start on it, I'm going to share with you from the Bible, from the Word of God, where it talks about newborn babes and how they act and respond, where it talks about in the Word of God about childlike behavior and what that childlike behavior is. Because some of us are still exhibiting some of those things and some of those tendencies in our flesh, and what it means to be a young adult Christian as far as what God is saying through the Word of God. How we move to that place and what's taking place in our life that grows us to that spiritual place. Because that's what he wants. He wants us to grow up. There are so many people who need to be mentored, who need to have access and need to hear you. You know, as you've matured and gone on, they need to hear some of the things that God has brought you through so that they can grab a hold and know, oh, I need to get out of this. These tendencies. I need to get out of my flesh, and I need to begin to move as a spiritual person in the earth today and operate like a mature man or woman of God. That's what I believe God wants for the body of Christ. Can you imagine? So the way that he got me into doing this was, you know, two-thirds of the Bible or the New Testament was written by Paul. And Paul has, and these are Paul's messages to the church. And as you read Paul's messages to the church, this is what Paul is talking about. He is trying to get the Christians at that time to grow up. He says, I'm going to be here until Christ be fully formed in you. What does Christ being fully formed in you mean? You're not shying away from praying for people. You're not shying away from talking to people about Jesus when Christ is fully formed in you. You're not shying away from praise and worship and speaking in tongues and ministering under the unction of the Holy Ghost when Christ is fully formed in you. Some of you may drop by, and I know it may seem a little afraid of some, but God is, he's going to take us to those places. We, as spiritual, mature Christians, need to do that for our children. Not only for them, but for all of those who will hear us, that will hear God through us. Think about all of those people. Think about God using your testimony, whether it's good or bad, using your faults using the healing of your faults for somebody else because they're going through the same thing. You got deliverance, and now you can share it with them. Think about that, how he wants and desires to use us in those kinds of ways. It's all up to us, amen? Nothing is going to be left. You have to make a decision. I want God and all he has for us, and I'm going to start spending my time doing that. So all I do through this, the word, and I will begin the next time. I will start at growing in grace, newborn babes, and what is a newborn babe? How they respond to God, how they act, you know, and how they then get to move on. Pastor's already on that stage right now, and definitely the principles of the doctrine of Christ, the first principles. We can even look at some of those six principles, and go, my God, where am I? Do I have a grip over all six of those? Laying on of hands, repentance from dead works, faith in God, you know, baptism in the Holy Spirit, baptism of repentance, baptism, you know, in the Spirit of God. Do I have mastery over those? Because Paul is saying you need to have mastery over those really before you move into a childlike stage. Now, we know that there are going to be some things that happen where you're going to see certain things that are in newborn babes, that are in child, that's in a young man, that they're going to carry on. And those are things that you and I bring are not willing to let go. You know, if you think about a pure newborn babe does this, a pure child of God does this, a pure, you know, young man does this, we know there's going to be some bleed over in our growth. That means in our natural cells, there's some bleed over. So we know that in the spiritual realm, that happens as well. But we should at least have the majority of those things that are going on in those areas. You know, we should understand those so we can go to the next step. But all it takes, y'all, all it takes is us saying, yes, I want this. I want myself. No, you and God, not you. Oh, you know, it's you and Curtis, or you and Pastor Eric. No, it's you and God. I want my step plan to move on to becoming a mature Christian, from doing some mighty things for God, mighty things for him, great things for him. And you say, well, not everybody's going to do. Everybody. The Bible doesn't say that it's for a select few. He's talking to everybody. Isn't that the wonder of God? But you and I have to make that decision. Amen. I see some of you shifting in your chairs, so I'm going to go ahead and end it now. And I've just talked about it, and I mentioned some scriptures, and I didn't really give you anything to look at. I hope you don't hold that against me. I really wanted to share, to encourage you and to encourage myself not to stop, not to give up. Let's keep doing it. Find little ways to be different than you were before. Find little things you can do. Prayer is always important. And Pastor preached on prayer already for us as far as advancing in God and using that to get closer to God. We had a sermon on that. In your time with God, just begin to say, okay, God, I want that for myself. I want you and I to have a better relationship than I have right now. And next year, I want us to look back on when I made that decision to say, I am different. Something did happen. Oh, this is going better in my life than before. And I can give you testimony upon testimony upon testimony of how the time between things that happen that tear you apart gets shorter. The time where you're stumped over calamities and adversities and trials and things that happen in the world and all that kind of stuff that, you know, that can bother us. Paul tells us to be content in any situation, right? How do you get to that place where those things are happening and you are still going, I'm on it. how we get there. You and I can get there by asking God, okay, God, here I am. What's my step? What can I do? Amen? So I'm going to leave it at that. I hope that you heard my heart, heard the Holy Spirit's heart through this morning. I pray that we have another time, and I'll pick up at the beginning, and we'll move forward from there.